This is Channel 2 over, and the report of Ms. Guthrie on haymaking with Rick this Thursday night late, the 16th of September, 71. Now, I made a mistake on the tape and got it on Channel 1. Now, I tried to transfer it, and the transfer is not as good as what I took on Channel 1. So, just turn to Channel 1 for the first 200 points of it. Channel 1 over, up to from 1 to 200, has the good version, and I can't transfer it. It's not as good. So just turn over to that, and I'll mend the other one. I'll transfer Suzanne's part of it on Channel 1 over. Now, for Channel 2 over and Ms. Guthrie's report this Thursday night, just switch to Channel 1 over. Now, you see along here, I tried it, and you see it doesn't transfer well. So I'll do something else and let Ms. Guthrie's tape stand on Channel 1 over. Now, this goes clear on up to 200, before hers begins on this side.
Oh, Marvin is just filthy.
He is.
Ricky is too.
He's never been in a hayfield before.
He said he'd never seen a baler work. He was really amused at it.
Oh, he was? Mm-hmm. Did you get pretty much done?
Yeah, we got all in that we had cut with something, 400 bales, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We got 110 bales yesterday evening and 300 and something this afternoon.
And that's clover?
Clover. If we just have some good weather next week, we'll wind it up.
You got more?
Yes, ma'am. It's way up like that.
Well, how did you get that big, that much growth?
I don't know. We just planted it, and we didn't give it that fertilized. But it naturally made it.
Isn't that something? And Marvin took Suzanne stayed a while?
Yes, ma'am. She stayed a while.
And not any fertilizer.
We sure didn't fertilize it.
I don't remember where that is. Is it the Denton place?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And you been all day?
Ma'am?
It's
I hear somebody?
9:30. Marvin
well,
said,
"Howdy." I didn't know count tonight. I just went to bed.
Well, you ain't by yourself. I ain't been no count in 6 months.
You sure don't look like you're no count.
I'm not. I sure am not.
You been riding the tractor?
Mm-hmm. I got off of it, Curtis and Undercom. About 5 o'clock, and I got off of it. I told him I had to go to the house.
You had enough for one day?
Mm-hmm.
I like to ride the tractor out there. I'd just soon be out there riding the tractors in the house. But you know, I get me sore sometimes.
No. He said, I want you to have another shot. And I said, well, Dr. Gibney, I had one Thursday. He said, I can't help that. He said, you're so poorly. He said, you need another one.
Oh.
So they gave me another one.
Uh-huh.
So, if Lord willing, I'll be back to see him Saturday.
So you're going back this Saturday?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay with him till.
And they've helped.
Yes, ma'am, they have helped me.
And you've been all around everywhere.
Everywhere.
My goodness.
And in the hospital.
And he wound up back in Ocala with
Dr. Gibney.
Yeah. But if you just known enough to stay with us, I bet.
Well, I tell you, the reason why that I never did start, Dr. Gibney hasn't been where you could depend on him. But I don't know whether he is now or not. You know, him and his first wife had a big gadoo, and they separated and got a divorce, and he done quite a bit of drinking. But I don't know whether he's quit that or not. But lots and lots of times I've been down there to see him when I didn't couldn't see him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm. But now whether he's straightened up since he got married again, I don't know.
But you've got some relief.
I mean, I got some relief.
And you can sleep at night?
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh. Hello. Well, hello. I'm telling you, nothing is as disagreeable to me as wake up in the middle of the night and can't go to sleep again.
I have to, about daylight, get up and set up a little bit and take me an aspirin. But he told me, he said, one of the best things I could do is to get me some good hot water and lie in there. And he said it wouldn't hurt, he said, to put a handful of soda in it.
Oh. Just relax you.
Mm-hmm. And it does. It just does me so much good to get in a bathtub and just lie. And but you know what's funny to me? My brother had the same thing that I've got, and it come all around killing him.
Well, that's what you said on
He come and stayed 2 days with me, and he is just about past going. And absolutely, the same itch on his head. And same hurting in his side and in his back. It just like to have killed him.
Now that's not in the past, that's right now.
But right now, he's just getting over it. He's just getting to where he can drive his car. And he was talking to me on the phone, and I told him that he wanted me to go over there. And I said, I'm not able to go. And he wanted to know what was my trouble, and I told him, and he said, well, sis, I had got the same thing. And there was a woman down there in Ocala to see Dr. Gibney to get her a shot, and she was talking to Marvin, and she told Marvin she had the same thing I had. The same identical thing. And she said she went to every doctor in Ocala she could think of, and she didn't get a bit of relief till she went to Dr. Gibney. But he said it was a flare-up from the shingles and arthritis.
Now, you said on the phone, it's been so long ago, that Ms. Thingabob down at the creek, Ms. Had been over there visiting with you.
Listen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that she said she had had something?
Yeah, she did. She went to the hospital and stayed.
What about this?
There ought to be some doctors around that could see those things. Now, like you said, you know, that's what she has said all along, Faye. That you go to see the doctors, and the doctors ask her what's wrong with her. That's right?
That's right. And if you tell them that your big toe hurts, why, they'll treat you for an ingrowing toenail. And if you tell them you don't know what, well, I don't know what to do for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Daly asked me, would I go to that specialist? And I said, yes, I sure will, if you think that'll do me any good. He said, well, there's just some little something. He says, I can't see. He says, something or another's wrong, and we know it. And he says, I can't find it. He says, I've made all kind of tests. I've taken all kind of x-rays. And he says, it's something that I've missed. And that cotton picking man charged me $40.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yes.
And that night I was bad off, just as bad off as I could be. Sent me back to Dr. Daly. And Dr. Daly gave me, everything he gave me was dope. And I found myself, the telephone rang, I was lying on the bed. And I got up to go answer the telephone, and I found myself behind a heater in the front room. And how in the world I got there and what made me be behind the heater, I'll never know. And I couldn't get up. Every time I'd get up, my legs would double up under me.
You can remember that?
Yeah, and I just struggled and struggled. And I lay there and I said, well, thought to myself, well, I've got to get up. I just got to get up.
Why, Miss Mary?
And I crawled on the lounge and got a hold of the lounge and pulled up on my knees and stayed there a while and then got up and stood up.
You're nothing like that, haven't you?
It's just too much dope he gave me.
Mean, I get up in the morning sometimes, I take these tranquilizers, and if I take a little too much, I get up in the morning and I just sort of swim in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we think Ricky's a mighty nice little kid.
Well, he never done this work, but he learns, don't he?
He was so amazed at the hay baler.
Never had seen one.
He said he had.
Yeah.
We didn't know how much help he'd be, but he's quick. And he can.
You just tell him once. We ought to have somebody like that all the time, ought we? Keep him around.
Sure. That's what I need. I need me somebody with me so bad.
You got so many relatives over there.
I ain't got no relatives.
You got some in-law relatives.
Then,
Well, we sure didn't know you was having epizootics over there. We'd have put more than a note on your door.
Them people over there, they don't know no more about what happens to me.
They probably need someone to stay with them.
Preacher called me Monday morning, wanted to know, could he have a meeting at my house? And I said, why my house? Why do you want to have a meeting at my house? I said, why don't you go to somebody's house that is able to clean up and fix up or something like that? I said, you know I've been sick. Well, he said, they thought it was best to go to your house. I said, who's coming? He said, just myself and Ella May and Preston Townsend. I said, well, if there ain't no more coming than that, it'll be all right. But I said, I don't see why in the world y'all pick my house to have a meeting when you don't, none of you ever come about me.
That's your new preacher.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What did you have Ricky doing? The big thing is just handing those bales. Can he pick up a bale?
Yeah, just pick up that bales and put them on the trailer.
Yeah, he can do that?
Yeah.
And then haul them and unload them?
Well, they all done that. We had Curtis over there. And
oh, you had some help.
Had Curtis over there and Edgar Polk. After the school bus run.
Yeah. So you got in a right smart haven there.
Mm-hmm.
Was it nice?
It is. It's nice. It's clover.
You like the clover?
I won't never plant nothing else but that.
I bet they're getting mosquitoes.
You don't have to worry with army worms.
Well, I don't know about that. We haven't had any yet.
Like you did with the other.
But I'll never plant nothing else. I won't never plant no more grass for hay.
Oh.
Now this way, have you still got some to go?
Mm-hmm. Still got some to go.
Yeah.
That stuff's well like that.
You mean shoulder high?
No, I mean from the table. It well like that.
Oh, sort of over knee high.
Yeah. And it's just as frank as it can be.
Yeah.
Of course, there's lots of big weeds come up in it, you know, but when we cut it.
Cows.
I don't want them baled. We go over it and pick them out.
You do.
What's wrong with the weeds?
Well, I just don't want them in there.
The cows pick them out.
But that might cause us trouble. Old coffee beans and things like that.
What you gonna do?
I got to go. I imagine them boys out there, the mosquitoes is eating them up.
I was gonna tell them to come on in.
And
they've had a pretty big day, Faye.
That sure are. Ricky just as dirty as he can be.
Well,
it's shame to go to anybody's house that dirty.
It sure is nice to see you.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling good. Well, y'all come around sometime. Well, go up.
You
want a glass of milk? Oh, some water?
Yeah, how long have you eaten? Well, I eat.
Have you eaten?
Oh, I eat and I eat and I get over there. And I got all this food on the table. And I didn't think I was that hungry. I just wanted some water. And I start eating. And they pass your bowls. And then they pass your rice. And they pass it to you again. And then they pass it to you again. Then they start on the pie. And she says, well, make sure you eat some sausage with your pie. I go, what do you mean eat sausage? Well, you're never eating sausage with your pie. Well, you got to eat sausage with your pie. So I'm eating sausage with my pie. So after two pieces of pie and extra rolls, I'm just kind of going, oh, well, that was just the beginning. And then they passed around again, and I eat some more. And we cleaned out all the pie. We cleaned out all the tomatoes. And I made her keep some of the rolls. I couldn't get the rolls down.
This was Miss Mary that was pressing you?
Yeah. Well, of course, I guess I was accepted a lot there. They passed around. I said, okay, she makes pumpkin pie, Miles. She makes good pumpkin pie. And I have a weakness for pumpkin pie. I can't help it. So I had three pieces of pumpkin pie. Oh, that was so good. We sat there at the table. We had, I don't know who now. I forget what they call him. Little something.
The Pope boy.
I guess so.
Edgar,
yeah. And Curtis was there and his wife. And they out there. The Pope boy and I did about half of it. And then Curtis showed up. Well, I thought I was doing pretty good, you know, toting those bales. See, everybody's telling me, you know, you're going to break your back. And that's how I walked up. Give it a nudge, and it wasn't too hard to move. So, Mr. Marvin comes up and says, you got any gloves? And I go, no. He says, well, here, you take mine. He says, what about your hands? He says, my hands are hard. So I didn't argue with it, because after cutting down those trees out there, okay. So I put those gloves on, and I figured, this isn't going to be hard. I mean, got the gloves, and those bales aren't that heavy. Well, when you start loading, those bales get heavy. They get heavier, and just everyone you pick out, they're getting heavy. So we're throwing them up there, and then Curtis shows up. Curtis looks like, he looks pretty strong. But he doesn't look, you know, that strong. He's picking them up from me, one arm, sticking them right on top. And, oh, my God. That guy is so strong. I just couldn't believe that. So we did about four loads. Got all stacked all up in that trailer so it wouldn't fall. Mr. Marvin did most stacked it. He just picked up and tossed it up there. Took it on in and stacked it in that shed there. had quite a procedure there, because I have never seen anybody drive a tractor like that. That man gets in fourth gear and he goes. And I just watch him going around that field with that baler. And you know, he's trying to stay where he's got all that hay, so it'll rake it out. Well, he's got bales, you know, he's dumping bales off, and he comes back down that lane. He doesn't want to hit those bales. So I'm just watching him. He's just zipping down that row. And he just couldn't come any close to those bales without running over him. That tire just brushed right side. So he comes zipping around the corner there, and the whole thing just disconnected from the tractor. He goes, boom, and he just drives along. What happened? Yeah. So I walk over there to see if I can help him. He backs up. I thought, well, I'll just pick it up and put it on the tractor. So I bend down and grab a hold of that thing, and it just, it was glued to the ground. It just wouldn't move. And he goes, well, I think we might have to jack it up. And I look over there, there's a jack built right into the thing. I go, oh, this is going to be heavy. But he just hooked that jack up and jacked it up. You know, I was sticking the pin in and out, you know, helping him out there. He got it up. He got in that tractor, and he just backed it. Right up, dropped that pin in. That pin had come undone, had a cap on it. That cap come off. He went back to work. In about 10 minutes, he's ready. So he took it over and unhooked the baler, and got his trailer, and just fly over that trailer. So he put Ms. Mary on it.
Driving the trailer.
Yeah, she can drive. She can't start it. She can't put it in gear, but she can drive. So they put it on a trailer, and he started up to get in gear and let her go. And funny thing is, you know, I got there. I was all eager and excited. I'm ready to go. And I'm grabbing the bale, throw it up, run up, grab another bale. He goes, well, you could kind of wait till it come up to you, and then you wouldn't have to work so hard. It seems like all the time I'm working too hard for him. You know, I'm trying to pick up two and all this. And I start getting tired, so I go, yeah, I guess I will. Yeah. And you just kind of get going there. Everybody working, kind of get a pace. You just work along, say, no? Yeah, yeah. You're right. It's not that hard, but I just find every way there is to make it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if I'm not aching, I don't feel like I'm working. Of course, I'll know tomorrow. But, and he take that trailer around to the shed. He's got a little narrow spot there. It's not too much bigger than that trailer. And he can't see where he's going, because he's got the trailer just piled high with all that hay. He just back it right in. Just back it right in. First time he didn't do too good, he bent in front of the trailer, had a metal bar across there, and just caught it in and folded it around. So we unbaled everything, and I saw that, and I figured that might make him mad. And he goes, well, I have to straighten that out. So what he does, he backs in the shed. He pulls up along the same telephone pole that bent it. But he just got it going the other way and bent it right back in. Just like that. And I just, well, that's as good as anybody could fix it. Uh-huh. And out we went for another load. That was really something.
How many bales on a trailer load?
I don't know. I think he was getting about 80.
80?
Yeah. They were, I guess they're about 3 feet long, about 2 feet wide, a foot or so deep.
Yeah.
About 50-pound bales, I guess. Some of them are heavy. I mean, they're a little wet.
Yeah.
And some of them, the ones I was looking for, were light. That was a pleasure to find the light ones. But I think his machine has a counter on it. And he said they got 300 that day.
Today?
Yeah.
That's
now he,
a lot.
Yeah. Now that, I just couldn't believe the way he bailed. He just drive along and just dump them out. I was thinking you had to, you know, pick it up by hand, stick it in the machine, crush it, and then tie it off by hand. This thing tied it off and everything. I just he's got these two packing arms on top. And I just sitting there looking at that thing go. It was just beautiful watching that thing go. And pack it all up and nice, and not a jumble. Now it's just nice, neat little rows.
Like this.
Yeah. Yeah, just like you sliced a loaf of bread and then tied it back up together. And he had some little short bales, you know. I said, what's to do with this? And he says, well, you know that machine's got just the right timing on it. He says, you mess that timing up, he says, it won't bail. He says, but now when you turn a corner, he says, it speeds up. And that's why you get those short bales. So he gave
but
Kurt.
But they don't come out until they get way on past the corner.
Right. That's right. That's right. You don't know. There's nothing you can do about it. You just let them go. So he gave all those to Curtis. Curtis had his truck there and loaded them up the truck. That comes out in about 10 bales, he figured. But, you know, let him have them. He let him have all the broken bales. Yeah, that was. I don't think he paid Curtis. Curtis got pretty late.
Didn't feed him.
Yeah, that was real good. They fed us and paid us. Paid $5. That's about $1.75 an hour.
You mean you made money?
Yeah, 3 hours work. Of course, I got a lot of scratches and other things I didn't want to get paid with.
You made money and got fed.
Oh yeah.
And entertained.
Oh yeah. Oh, you could sit there. That's a nice job. I don't know how long I'd want to do it, because after a while, you get a little dirty.
Did Miss Patty get talk to you, though?
No, didn't get too much talk at her. Heard a lot about her doctor problems, which I'd heard before. But she was telling me, this is really funny, when they first started bailing, I guess she'd taken the pickup or something through the woods over to the pasture. To give Mr. Marvin some twine and stuff for the machine. Well, she got stuck in this real muddy spot in the woods there. So he had to come back. See, he was already in the pasture, and she didn't show up, and he knew she was coming. So he had to go back looking for her, and there she was. So he apparently got behind the truck with a tractor or something, was pulling her out or pushing her out or something. And he says, you know, okay, start it up when I tell you to, put it in gear and go. So she did, and she gave it the gas and took off. Well, those wheels caught the mud, see, and I just slung it up and just put it all over him. So she hears something back there, you know, somebody cussing or something. She gets out and she walks back and says, "You fussing at me? Woman, you're driving too damn fast." "Well, I'm just trying to get out of the mud."
Suzanne stayed a while?
Yeah, she was there a little while. She left just about the time we started bailing. We had to wait. We went over there, and he said it'd be about half an hour. So Suzanne and I drove over, and she showed me a little cross the creek. And then we got some gas and drove back, and we had to wait about another 15 minutes. And he was through bailing by then. He got the wagon hooked up, and we started loading. And Edgar was there. He and I worked for a while, and then Curtis showed up. And then Mr. Marvin worked.
Oh, it's nice to have plenty of help on those bales, especially when you get in the barn.
Yeah, when you get them piled up high like that. After the third load, I was getting tired of picking them up and throwing them up there. As a matter of fact, I was just looking for another job there. Get up and throw them down to somebody. And Mr. Marvin, he just goes and goes and doesn't slow down, doesn't speed up.
Yeah.
The same pace. And I'm surprised that man's so strong.
Oh, yes. Just.
He's small, man.
Just sinewy.
Yeah. He didn't eat that much dinner. Didn't eat that much at all. And he'd been driving that baler all day. And he was just covered when we started. Yeah, somehow he keeps his hair clean. I couldn't figure that out. He just didn't have a thing in his hair. When you got four people there, well, we had five there because Linda was working, Curtis's wife. Just pass them right up the line. There's no trouble at all. Well, we had two or something, you know. You're really fighting to get them up there on the top. Well, it works out real nice when you got four.
Then you pan them to each other.
Oh, yeah. When you go out there in the field, you know.
Always up there.
Oh, he's up there. Yeah. And you got to stack carefully. We were joking about the hole. Every time we unload that trailer, there was always a hole somewhere, and we'd step in it. I'd say, "Well, you all didn't unload the hole last time." And I'd say, "Well, yes, we did." And somebody'd be stepping in the hole up in the loft there. Because I got it over here. Well, we pass him on up. He stacks them all the way down. all the way to the top of that shed. And then when he gets tired, what he'll do is say, well, I think we need to work here on the bottom some. So we don't have to lift too much. We just pass them down, set them on the floor. And then after he gets that, we go back and work up top again.
That's a tall barn, too.
Yeah, he didn't have a barn. He had him in a shed.
Had a shed.
Yeah. He had his barn already full, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. With something else. I don't know. Some other kind of hay.
You know, somebody bought because they didn't know whether they'd make this night. It rained, and they got some out of the field.
Yeah.
You see, you can get an elevator. Dodge got one. You can get it, and it'll just keep the bales going right on up where you want them.
Oh, like conveyor type thing?
Yeah, conveyor.
That'd be nice.
Oh, yes. And you get all shapes and sizes. And you see, if you use it 2-3 times a year, that it pays you.
Yeah.
You don't have to wear yourself out.
Yeah.
All you got to do is somebody at the bottom and one man at the top.
Yeah.
And neither one of them is much of a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see, in the hay, the only time you get stove up is in the hauling. Because Marvin, with just a little help, she can do all the rest.
Yeah.
Unless the equipment breaks down, of course, then that's another matter.
Yeah. I was surprised they do all that equipment. They just do everything.
That's a lot of equipment, isn't it?
He's got a rake. He's got a baler.
A mower?
Yeah, I guess he does. I didn't see the mower.
Got
a really good tractor.
That's a good big tractor.
Run.
It doesn't look so big, but it's a good heavy tractor.
It'll run. He says it's got 3 cylinders, and he hasn't done a thing to it in 4 years, except put gas and oil on it, and that's all.
Yeah.
No spark plugs, no points, no nothing.
He hadn't used it. Oh, really?
I was surprised, because yeah, I'm sure he uses that a lot.
Even so,
yeah,
four years.
4 years, and that's hard to believe. I mean,
yeah.
It runs good. It runs good.
Well, you've got you've been you've got here a bit of time, Rick.
Yeah.
We made it in the middle past.
Now yours is that Bahia? Bahia?
Yeah.
His he was really proud of that clover hay. That he didn't fertilize it. He was proud of that. And he said he planted it real thick. That way it came up and it made the stems thin. Good thin stems, which he likes. And it came up high.
Did the leaves stick on it?
Yeah. Oh, it looks good. And now he's got about half of it in, he says, and I was looking at the other field. And he's got, looked like some plants were kind of dying there, turning brown, but some real good looking ones. Nice green, you know, real lush looking. You have to cut that, let it cure. He said he might cut that on Saturday and pick it up on Monday. It depends on where that storm's going. He says, now if that storm goes to Texas, then he'd be pretty sure to have good weather here. He says, you can bet on a week of good weather if the storm's going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's watching that.
Today, you all went over the washer, but they took off Ajax, and what is today, Thursday? And yesterday, Tuesday was a big day over here, wasn't it?
Tuesday night, especially.
Yeah.
That came Tuesday morning. Cookie came and hauled them off Tuesday night. That's about as close as you can get, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what's the best talk that you've had? you worked too much to talk over there, didn't you?
It was hard to work. This is something funny about Curtis, I felt. Curtis is always has to be in command of things. And I felt that right away. And I felt like there'd be a lot of little friction there, so I just didn't do too much. Just kind of stayed out of his way. Because, of course, they were talking about hunting and dogs. I don't know anything about that. I was talking about Edgar, about bear hunting. You know, I just let him do all the talking. And then it went to cars and sports, which, well, so much for that. And, of course, Curtis had his truck there, and he's got it all rigged up for running fast. And they start talking about that, which is just not much in that. But that was something I had to steer around. I run in that sometimes. I just sense it, you know, that he's the kind of person that is going to challenge you in some way. So I just, you know, kept away because I didn't want to get into anything.
You didn't have a chance to talk to Mark.
Well, now, Curtis, you're going too fast. Curtis, I never talked to Curtis. I didn't even know he could talk.
Well, you talk about hunting, he likes to, I think. Well, what they're talking about is not so much hunting, but driving 90 miles an hour through the woods. Which is, well, you can drive 90 miles an hour anywhere and talk about it. And you're not going to see much of hunting driving 90 miles an hour.
And he's got his car rigged up to speed.
Yeah, he's got that truck painted up. He's got a big, I think, four-barrel carburetor and loud mufflers, and he just runs it hard all through those fields. It runs it hard through the woods. And they'll be shooting while they're running fast. I just not interested in that.
Well, you don't have to be interested if you go on with it.
But I didn't think there'd be much in it, you know?
Well, there's something in everything, right? As long as he's interested, go on with it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I had seen him over there, and he looked like he was sort of dopey. And didn't have sense enough to talk or do anything.
No, I saw him. He's quiet, but he look at you like, I'm quiet because I'm above all this, I'm in command, and you don't talk to me, I'm the boss, I talk to you, and then, you know, it's like giving permission to talk. That's just the feeling I got, you know, I could be wrong. And, Edgar talked to him, but I got the feeling Edgar was talking to him. You know, well, Edgar's 12th grade, Marvin's married, and he was, not Marvin, no, Curtis. And, Edgar was just always talking about the things he did in the woods, you know. And it was kind of like he was complimenting him, playing up to him, you know, wow, you can really drive fast those woods 90 miles an hour and miss those trees by 3 inches. Of course, you stick your nose out and take it right off. And Curtis was just, you know, just eating that up.
He likes
it. Yeah.
Did Edgar talk too?
Oh, Edgar talked. He and I talked real good. Got along fine.
Well, now, he's one of the country boys. The other boy is sort of half-and-half.
Curtis?
Uh-huh. He's a machinist.
Yeah, he said I figured he worked in a gas station or something like that.
I'm certain to say he's right gifted as a machinist.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if he did that truck by himself, that thing runs good. Runs real good.
Yeah.
And he might have quite a bit of talent there. His wife is like real quiet.
Yeah,
and I figured, you know, he's the kind of person to be led, and he's the kind of person to want to lead. He was talking about working somewhere. Talking about making manhole covers. Maybe that's part of his job or something. The machinist. Said somebody's working for him. Says, after 3 days, he quit because I was really working him. And Mr. Marvin turned around and said, well, you know, that's okay, but just long as you... Says, when I went at working anybody, I never ask him to do anything that I wouldn't do myself.
Oh, really?
Says, that's the only way to work a man. Yeah. Says, you got to be fair. Says, I never do anything unless I'm willing to do it myself.
So. Yeah. You think he kind of caught his hand?
I don't know. I think he's kind of agreeing with him because I think Curtis is about to say something like that. You know, just to show that he wasn't being unfair to that guy. I just... Well, I remember what happened. I remember. Curtis had said that about that guy quit. Because he's working him so hard. And Mr. Marvin turned around and says, of course, you get someone that'll really work, then you're going to have more work for yourself because you won't be able to keep up with them. And then he said that about doing, you know, only making them do what you're willing to do. Yeah, I guess he was kind of playing in there.
Marvin can take care of himself.
Uh-huh.
And he's right suave about it.
He is.
Suave is, that's right.
Yeah. He is.
He's right suave.
When that mower fell off?
Yeah.
The mower fell off. You know, I was like, oh my God, what's happening? You know, and that thing kept on running, you know, it's shaking. And he just, it fell off back up for dawn. And it is a lot of work. You know, he's tired and he's having to jack that thing up. It was in soft sand. It could have been dangerous. He just put it back on. When he bent that trailer, he just, we'll have to bend that back. So he just runs it in a telephone pole and bends it back. He just didn't bother. He was amazing. And he smoked that pipe.
You see, I noticed Miss Mary is really not a good talker. She depends on Marvin to follow up. She makes a statement and depends on him to work them out for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got all these jobs now, and he never sat down.
Hmm.
I haven't sat down and talked to him in months. He was there plenty of time. I'd go back and we'd sit down and meal time and talk. So if you got a little talk out of him, you...
Yeah, that's why I stayed in the truck, talked to him there.
Yeah.
He told me about all his farm equipment, and his hay, and the problems of bringing that in. He's just real casual. I really like him. I really enjoyed working with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He moved my animals one time.
His
ton truck over there. And that's the gentlest my animals have ever been handled.
Mm.
He loaded them. And he loaded my animals way yonder easier than I could load them.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't use a hot tie either.
I said no to me, and he took it, uses these over this rough way. I've never had animals handled like that before.
My cookie did Tuesday.
I just went along with him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because he'd gone to so much trouble.
Cookie's rough on?
Oh, he's rough on everything. He's rough on machinery, rough on horses.
Use the guy's
animals
just to walk up the ramp and
walk in. You know, now that's the way I'd start treating animals. Same cookie, I'd be rough on them too.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I didn't know that.
Oh, animals, you can just, these calves, you can handle with you. Just like that. Well, you can see how I handle these little heifers.
Yeah.
I handle the others the same way.
Yeah.
We had to speak to them.
But you don't push them, not them. You see, what you do is you're going to load them. You've got to walk them through the runway a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have the trailer there. You can just let them flatten out the chute. But it's better to have the trailer. And just walk them in there and then let them walk out. And then when it comes time to haul them, they don't make anything out of it. That's the only way to do it.
Let them know what's...
These people who use hot rods and all that hollering and stuff like we did the other night,
That was downright frantic.
Well, it's downright frantic.
Yeah.
See, I told Cookie when he came in here, I told him my animal's never been handled that way before. But I let him, you see, I didn't hold him to it.
I didn't know that.
Wish Rick could have seen Nick handle Ajax as you...
Yeah.
He's beautiful with him.
And Ajax to pull back all the
time. I'm here always on that trailer just yelling my head out at That bully boy.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't need to do that, did I?
Well, he was scared.
Yeah.
But none of them ought to be spoken like that.
No, you couldn't help it that night.
You just mark that off. That's all you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
See, but now the thing you see, I get all these gifts of reporting, and he can outdo Marvin 3-1.
Cookie.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Now, get anything straight exactly. And Marvin gets it pretty straight.
Yeah, Marvin doesn't strike me as anyone to get cocky and report like Cookie would. You know, he was just Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always Marvin, and he's just calm.
But he's got no feeling for reporting like Cookie.
Uh-huh.
He has great gifts.
Uh-huh.
Is limited in certain ways, but everybody is, you know.
Mm.
Oh, he is. And some things are straight. But he's rough with animals.
Yeah.
He's rough with animals. See, I won't let him bring any of our horses over here, because these horses kill one of his horses. They kicked it out. These horses are bigger. They kicked one of his small horses. Beautiful little horse.
Killed him?
Crippled him.
Wait, yeah.
And he gave away. And he, you know, that's the part of the countryside that Rick got into, you see.
Yeah.
Nick.
Handling horses.
Yeah.
I know.
They talk about it, but it's.
Yeah, I remember.
It's hard on animals.
He was plowing rowdy, how rough he was with him that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he can handle them, you know.
Kind of overhandle them.
Yeah. Hard on animals. But you don't change that. You go along with him, you know.
Yeah.
And see what his gifts are. And Mr. Gilbert straightened him out. That day when he was over here.
Yeah, I think I.
You gotta take that.
Yes.
And you gotta. We gotta watch.
Yeah, that's the end of Channel 1, Channel 2, or Channel 2 something. Over about 900. And the end of Rick's report on making hay with Marvin and Miss Mary this Thursday at bedtime. The 16th of September, 71. Now, this is Channel 2 over, and the end of Rick's report on making hay with Marvin and Miss Mary this Thursday, the 16th of September, 71. They had supper and came home, brought him home about bedtime, and Miss Mary came in, talked a little bit. And this is the end of Rick's report after Miss Mary and Marvin went on home.